The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Mike Palmer, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
B-Pod Studios.
This is the DraftKings Over Under Show with the Bankroll Boys, Joe Murray and Dan Lifshitz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, good morning. Welcome into the DraftKings Over Under Show. I'm Joe Murray. Dan Lifshitz is here. We're bright and early at our Town Fair Tire Studios. Good morning, Dan. How are you?
Yeah, you know, the usual. Bored.
Yes, but we had a week of betting last week with the draft.
Finally.
Some things in the sports world are continuing to evolve here, despite the pandemic. Next week, we have UFC that we can bet on.
Yep.
So there are some things coming up that that we can't bet on, and the NFL seems to be a real hot topic, and we'll certainly get into that. And the odds are out for the Tiger versus Phil golf tournament. And do you know what today would have been?
Kentucky Derby?
Today would have been the Kentucky Derby, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think we'll probably end up seeing it hopefully in September, fingers crossed. But, I mean, the usual. Everyone kind of knows the situation we're in. This sucks. You know, got to make the best of it.
So this isn't a old pat on the Barry Horowitz, pat on the back here.
Okay.
But I've hit one of the horses in the trifecta for at least five years in a row.
I do know that, actually.
I give you three horses. I give you three, one of them hits.
Yep.
You know? I mean, I'm sorry, you know, I think I may have told you this, but our big boss one day, how I was introduced to her was, oh, you're the gambling guy, huh? Yeah. Yeah, you gave me three horses, only two of them won. Like, that was her thing. Yeah, I thought you were the gambling guy. You said three horses, I picked three of them, and the two of them won. Why couldn't you hit all three? That's how I was introduced. You believe that, Tucker? You know, if I give you one, it's like,
that's free money.
Free money. Anyways, there is a simulation today, though. And
we have the odds on that.
We have the Madden simulations on right now. This thing sucks. Well, I'm sorry.
This is MLB The Show. This is not Madden.
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
The Madden The Show, whatever.
Now, are those two gamers actually playing each other, or are they actually just a flat-out simulation with the computer?
No, they're playing each other.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, this stinks.
Yeah, I was watching the Madden one the other day. Blue.
I mean, listen, it's better video quality than what the NBA did with their stupid, with their 2K games. That was terrible. So, I mean, at least this is, like, better video quality, but it's a video baseball game. So it's even more boring than regular baseball.
Yeah, but where I'm going with this is horses. Like, imagine if you could do simulations for, like, American Pharoah, Seattle Slough, Seabiscuit.
All-time horses.
Yeah, like just put, and you know what? They actually have that today.
That's what we're going to get.
And Tucker, I got to tell you, I am in.
Are you betting on this?
I don't know. I don't know.
What do you mean? You just told me you're in.
I don't know if I'm going to bet on it yet, okay? But okay. I'm in on it. I'll tell you that much.
All right. You,
you know what? I'll pick by the end of the show.
Okay.
I'll give you a trifecta. How about that?
Okay. I like that.
A trifecta. They'll run a simulation. Hopefully you get a pick. Speaking of picks, I got a bone to pick. Haven't done one of these in a while, Dan. It's not really betting related, but I'll somehow transform it to be. So when you come in the morning, right? Generally mornings, I leave my house at 5:50.
Yeah.
And I get here about 6:20 and I kick around. You know, I talk to Tucker. And I usually come from the north. So I go Route 1 right into Boston into Dorchester.
Yep.
Great ride. Easy ride. Today, I don't know what happened. I just decided I'm going to go a different way. I don't know what came over me.
Why?
I went 95 to 93. And I'm cruising. I was like, wow, it's 6:07. Maybe this way is faster than the other way. And then I hit Medford and Somerville. And it says 93 is closed. And I'm like, oh, this isn't good. So I have to pop off in Somerville. I got to climb through the Somerville Medford, where the casino is right there, the Sullivan Square there. I had to continue to go through Charlestown, over the Charlestown Bridge. Like, if you ever saw the movie The Town, hey, close the bridge. I had to go over that damn bridge. But you would think, like, oh, you know what? It's fine. There's nobody on the road today, right? Nobody. Everybody was on the road this morning.
Wow, really?
What was going on? What is it?
Huh.
It's been happening a lot recently, dude. There's been a lot of people on the road. A lot. I don't know why, but it's...
Well, that early? That's insane.
Yeah, I was up, I don't know, I was getting here the other day for Toucher and Rich, and I was sitting in traffic. I was like, what the hell is this? There's traffic? Huh. At 7 a.m. on a Thursday morning, no one's going to work. Where is everyone going?
Where is it? Where are they going? Is it the old timers going to the supermarket?
Yeah, probably. Saturday's a big grocery day.
So let's go 93. Mm-hmm. Where the hell? I know we have a supermarket here in Dorchester, but like, are you really going to, like, you know?
No, probably not.
Like I'm trying to think. What's the mall down here? South Bay? What, everyone lining up at South Bay to go get some groceries this morning? But so it took a while to get here. Then I had to cut through the north end, and it's like, hey, 93 Southern, it's still blocked off. So I'm like, oh, this is fantastic. So then all of a sudden I'm going through Southie, and I'm like, this is I'm going the back roads the whole way.
What was it, construction? It must have been.
Maybe.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I figure with nobody on the road, they might as well fix the potholes, right?
I go 90 to 93. I got on 93, no problem.
Oh, you got it. Yeah. See?
Yep, there you go, of course.
So maybe I left too early. Maybe there was an issue.
Yeah, it was probably the overnight crew was still on. My guess.
Tell them to get the crap together. You're on your way home?
How dare they work?
Exactly.
I mean, in this time, it feels like how dare they work, huh? Might be legitimate.
But yeah, gripe. I haven't griped in a while about, you know, the weather or traffic or the train.
So you didn't have time to get your coffee?
Well, I noticed. So I've actually quit coffee.
Did you really?
Well, not on purpose.
What the hell's wrong with you?
So I'm a coffee snob there.
Okay.
The place that I normally go to has been closed for over 40 days.
Mm-hmm.
And I've given up.
No drive-thru?
No drive-thru.
Hmm.
And I don't like the other coffee place because I'm a snob.
That people run on.
So I'm out on coffee. And I've lost weight.
Really?
Because of no coffee.
Well, you normally order with, like, cream and all that crap,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah. Give me the French vanilla ice,
that's where you go wrong. You got to drink it black or with almond milk or something like that.
So to wrap this all into gambling.
Just don't drink it.
It's true.
Oh, stop.
I don't drink coffee.
Oh, good for you.
To wrap this back into gambling, though.
It's my fuel, baby.
You always bet on Old Faithful when you got to get somewhere. From now on, I will not bet against Old Faithful. I'm going to go Route 1, I'm going to pay the toll, and things are going to be just fine. I'm no longer betting against myself.
Route 1 was his his Belichick Brady.
Yes, I am no longer betting against the regular route to the station. No longer doing it.
Even in quarantine.
I don't know what happened today. I don't know what. Hey, on 93, it's nice out, you know? Windows down, going 80.
I mean, I don't blame you. Everybody's life is pretty much the same. So it's just like, yeah, you know, change it up. Go a different route today.
Yeah,
yeah. Why the hell not?
Don't bet on that. You'll lose. It's like, you know what? Let's play a couple of parlays today.
Can't win them all.
Well, maybe we'll do a three-team teaser today. I feel good. Yeah, how do those work, Dan? Teasers and parlays.
They never go well. For the most part. Shouldn't say never.
Dan loves parlays.
I love it.
Can I start off with a square play alert? Because I know we have some stuff we want to get into.
I don't have that.
No, it's fine. Don't worry about that. I want to give you a square play alert. This is me, Dan, so you can fight me if you want. I think the squarest play this NFL football season is Bill Belichick to win Coach of the Year. I think he's the favorite right now to win Coach of the Year. I think that is so, so square. And what I mean by square is, oh, Tom Brady isn't there, and if they get the Patriots into the playoffs, it's Tom Brady's got there. Yeah, then Bill Belichick's the greatest coach of all time. No. Nope. Because the Ravens are going to have an easy schedule and could win 14 games.
Yeah, but that doesn't necessarily mean Coach of the Year.
I
mean,
that's fine. How about Bruce Arians?
Yeah, but I mean, they're going to have a... Usually Coach of the Year goes to the underdog. That's how I'd tell you I'd feel about Coach of the Year. I don't remember who won last year, but if I had a guess, it wasn't like John Harbaugh. You know what I mean? Or sorry. Last year feels like it would be John Harbaugh. Yeah, there
you go. John Harbaugh was the...
So Coach of the Year last year. So that makes sense. Because they were an eight-win team. They ended up winning, what, 12 games, 14 games, whatever the hell they won last year. So that makes sense. It's for an underdog coach that overperforms. A guy like Arians this year has immense expectations, so I would say he's a terrible bet.
So you think Arians is a terrible bet? Horrible. He's the second.
I think Belichick is a better bet than Arians.
Let me throw a name at you if you had the odds in front of you. Cliff Kingsbury.
Ooh.
I like that one. I like that one a lot.
And that's, Arizona improving. Let me see. I got him right here. Let me pull it up. So Kingsbury's not a bad one, Tucker. I just don't know what the advancement will be for. I mean, they had a really good draft. They ended up getting Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
DeAndre
Hopkins.
Sorry. Ooh, whoa.
Yeah. Well, not Deshaun Watson.
let's see. Cliff Kingsbury plus 1,800.
All right, so, Joe, here are the records of the past winners, and you tell me of these teams or whatever, and I'll go back to where do you want me to go from?
Whatever.
Okay. 5 years?
Okay, so let's go back to 2015, okay? Ron Rivera with the Panthers when they went 15-1.
Yeah, and they went to the Super Bowl.
Okay, right, okay. And it came out of kind of nowhere, right? Yep. Remember, the Panthers were not a super highly touted team. Next year was the Cowboys with Jason Garrett when they went 13-3. That was the year that they were supposed to be nasty, kind of flopped in the playoffs, whatever. Sean McVay in 2017, when they came out of nowhere, Jared Goff made the Super Bowl 11-5. 2018, when the Bears exploded onto the scene with Mitch Trubisky and won 12 games of 12-4, and then lost, obviously, off the double doink. And then last year, John Harbaugh, 14-2. It's not the teams that have favorite teams. Bruce Arians will not win Coach of the Year. It's a dumb bet. You're just blowing your money.
How about Bill Belichick then? Why is he the favorite?
Well, because Belichick right now has no quarterback. So if he exceeds expectations with no quarterback, then he has a good chance of winning.
Square. Oh, it's so square.
But I would say Arians is way more square because you're betting on, Brady and Arians to have a good year. You know Tom Brady's going to be good this year. You know he has insane weapons. Gronk, O.J. Howard, Mike Evans. Who else am I forgetting there? The other wide receiver. I'm blanking.
Chris Godwin.
Thank you. Okay. Cameron Brate. I mean, you know that Brady's going to be
Shaq
good there.
Jack Barrett on defense?
Yeah. Well, yeah. And again, but I'm just talking about in general, offensively. Yeah.
So while we're at it, you mentioned Kingsbury. Good pick, right? Team that wasn't good. Got a number one overall pick. I think Mike Vrabel, if that team can continue to play well, could be up there.
Playoff team last year.
That's fine. So. I'm just Frank Reich.
Yeah, I was going to say Frank Reich.
Frank Reich of Indy, right?
Yeah, I think that's the one.
If Philip Rivers can play well and that team can...
Philip Rivers indoors is going to be interesting to watch.
What about Doug Peterson with the Eagles? Plus 2,500.
Nah.
No.
Playoff team?
I'd lay off that.
Mike Tomlin of the Steelers, and let me tell you...
I thought you should have got it last year.
You hated the Steelers last year.
Listen, they lost... Everyone who tells me the Steelers were good, they lost to RG3 in a century of playoff game. Go bleep yourself. They sucked. They did not even deserve to win 9 games last year.
Can we save that one? Let's save that.
However, I'll give Tomlin this.
We got to use that for a promo.
He did a lot.
Hey, Dan, you didn't like the Steelers last year. Go bleep yourself. They suck. I think we can make that a promo, right?
It's hard hitting analysis.
I mean, we got to like bleep yourself. They want our promo. Boom, there you go. Right?
That's fair. No, I actually think Tomlin has a chance this year. I think a good chance because. I think the Steelers will be better this year. Of course, Joe can't hold it together.
The Steelers.
I think the Steelers
sucked.
Will be better. They did. Last year, they were a terrible team. They got like three of their wins to the Bengals and the Browns last year. I don't want to hear it.
You know that if they had the expanded playoffs this last year, the Steelers would have made the playoffs.
I know.
All right. Any other coaches that...
What about
the Chargers, like Anthony Lynn?
I'll throw one out there I think is a good has some actually good value. Mike McCarthy.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think you're looking at, you know, the Patriots. You're looking at Belichick. You're looking at McCarthy. Everyone's going to be all over Sean McDermott. I think the Bills are going to tank this year. I think the Bills are going to suck. Josh Allen, to me, made no steps forward. His coach is already calling him out saying where we need progression is the passing game. And, you know, they just signed Josh Norman to be one of their top corners, who was one of the worst corners in the league last year. I'm sorry, that team feels like it's taking a step back. I know McDermott and the Bills were good last year, and everyone thinks they're going to win a division. The entire world thinks the Bills are going to win the division this year. But the Bills are going to end up taking a step back this year. I would tell you, all the pros love the Bills under win total. I know that for sure. And Josh Allen sucks, okay? He is bad.
You gotta save that one, too.
He is bad. Dude, Josh Allen was the worst downfield thrower in the NFL last year.
Awful.
He is so bad. I don't want to hear about how Josh Allen is a good NFL quarterback.
We really might see Jake Fromm this year.
I fully believe that there's a chance of that.
They love Barkley there, too. That's what I heard. They really like Barkley as a backup. I'm going to give you one name that's crazy. You guys are going to tell me, Joe, go to break. You're crazy, but it could work. Bill O'Brien plus 5,500.
No. Don't. I'd rather burn my money in front of you. I'll give you a $20 bill. You can burn it in front of me. You're doing the same thing. Bill, dude, that... What? He traded DeAndre Hopkins.
I know, but if they win the division...
So he traded DeAndre Hopkins so he could win Coach of the Year? Because it's... Just, come on.
Plus 5,500.
No, thanks. No, thanks. I'm good. Give me the bleach.
It's third to worst.
Give me the bleach. I'll take the bleach.
By the way, it's third to worst. I think the worst was Matt. The worst is Matt Patricia.
Yeah. He's probably getting fired. How about this? First coach to get fired off the board, I would not be shocked if Matt Patricia gets fired midseason.
Ooh, give me Doug Marrone.
Ooh, I like that one too. But see, they're kind of like building something there in Jacksonville. I don't know.
We all know the Jags are going to suck, you know?
Yeah, and they're also going with a young quarterback. I mean, I assume they're going with the stash.
Just think about it quickly. Is there a team that's in a division that, like, for example, Matt Rhule for the Panthers?
Yeah.
They have Tom Brady and Drew Brees in front of them, and Matt Ryan, let's face it. Like, if they could somehow have a successful season... He's going to get consideration.
How about Brian Flores and the Dolphins?
That's a good one.
If the Dolphins play decently well, win 7-8 games, make a run at the AFC East, may not get there, but make a run to the AFC East. I think I have Flores. Flores, to me, is a really, really good coach. I think
agree.
They won 5 games last year when they were trying to lose. I think they at the end of the year, you know, they started trying to win games. But I think they won some games without really wanting to. I think that he has a chance.
We got some win totals in the AFC North we'll get to. His phone number here is 617-779-0985. I said this earlier in the week, Tucker. We need to get Dan Lifshatz on Cameo. And people can reach out to Dan to tell people that people suck. How about that? Are you on Cameo yet?
Am I?
Get on that.
No, I'm not.
Are you?
Or we could just do it live right here today. If there's a team, player, coach... You'd like Dan to call out, 617-779-0985. We'll get into more betting odds coming up next here on the DraftKings Over-Under Show.
This is the DraftKings Over-Under Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Everyone who tells me the Steelers were good, they lost to RG3 in a century of playoff game. Go bleep yourself, they sucked.
DraftKings over on our 985 show. That was beautiful. We just need like a promo now. And you'd be like, It's the DraftKings Over-Under Show with Joe Murray and Dan Lifshatz.
Game. Go bleep yourself. They sucked.
It's the DraftKings Over-Under Show. That's all we need.
Everyone who tells me the Steelers were good, they lost to RG3 in essentially a playoff game. Go bleep yourself. They sucked.
That's it. Perfect promo. I love it.
Kind of sound like Maz there.
Well, no. I thought you sounded like Dan Lifshatz there.
Well, I mean, like the, you know, sucks and blows type thing.
Whatever. I mean, at least you said go bleep yourself.
All right.
Did anybody else? I don't think I've heard a go bleep yourself. I don't think I've heard that one.
I don't know.
Anyway,
I figured that's a little bit better than what I could have said.
Well, Dan, we're looking at the AFC North. Ravens over under 11.5 wins. Steelers 9.5 wins. Browns 8.5. Bengals 5.5. So before we get into that, did any of these teams impress you as far as making a move in the draft?
The Ravens, as per usual, it feels like every year, had a great draft. I don't like Patrick Queen as much as I like Kenneth Murray coming out, but, I mean, Queen out of LSU, I still think is a really good linebacker, adds a lot of speed to that linebacking corps. You know, something that they still need there. I really liked what they did. You know, J.K. Dobbins in the second round. I think personally, and Joe, you know how I feel about the draft, I think Dobbins is the second best running back in the draft. So to me, I think he's going to be a fantastic fit there. Exactly what they needed, someone to kind of spell Mark Ingram. So offensively, I think they did really, really well early on. You know, I like almost everything that the Ravens do always. And when it comes to other teams, like obviously the Bengals getting Burrow, I thought was really good. They drafted T. Higgins at the top of the second. I like that pick. So, I mean, you can't really argue with what they did either. You know, I thought that those two teams did really well. I didn't love, you know, what the Browns did. I personally am not a huge fan of most of their picks. Including Jedrick Wills, so I actually think might be a bust compared to the rest of the other tackles that were, you know, I don't like Wills or Becton, to be honest with you. I like Wirfs and the guy the Giants picked, I'm blanking on his name, from Georgia, Thomas, yeah. A little bit more. But I just, you know, it's kind of hard to determine right off there. And then the Steelers, I thought, did some okay things. They fought the Steelers draft very well in the later rounds. So, you know, listen, I don't think that you could really make a determination off a team's win total based upon what they did in the draft. I just think that everyone who tries to determine what a team did in the draft and says, oh, this team had a good draft, we know nothing. We know nothing right now.
All right. Well, that was good analysis because the Browns, hey, no more excuses. You get Wills now. That's a guy, right? They had during the Trent Williams talk.
And they want to plug him in at left tackle. He's a right tackle to me.
Okay. So. And I'm sure they'll find out early. Grant Delpit. Like, that's a good pick, man. And who'd they get? Greedy Williams the year before that? So, like, they're starting to load up a little bit. And we thought last year they'd be good, right? That was your, like, team last year.
Yeah, no, I admit when I'm wrong, and boy, was I wrong.
So, like, the more I look at that, I think the Browns did very well. And, of course, the Ravens, I do think Dobbins is going to. And then they got Porche later on.
Yeah, I like Porsche, dude.
You know, so if they need a little bit of a slot guy, I think that's the guy that will make the team and play later on. The Steelers, I'll mention this again. The Ravens and the Steelers have the easiest schedule in the NFL this year. So when I see Steelers at 9.5, I lean over. I lean Ben Roethlisberger coming back. I see that team being better this year. Now, do I think they're a playoff team? If they're going to go over 9.5, they probably are.
With the expansion this year, I agree. I got to be honest. I hated the Claypool pick. I don't understand what you're doing with Claypool. I understand trying to get a bigger body, but I don't think that guy's going to end up being a wide receiver. I think you're better off with him as tight end than at wideout. And, you know, I like the Anthony McFarland pick. He kind of gives you something different than what you had offensively with Connor, but I just, you know, again, fourth round running back, I don't think he's going to be, you know, elite or anything. I don't know a ton about, you know, Brooks or Davis, but I didn't really like the Steelers draft, to be honest with you, Joe.
How about the Bengals? Over under 5.5 wins. They let go of Andy Dalton, which we'll get into in just a little bit here. The over under 5.5 wins, the over is -135.
Yeah, I think that the Burrow is obviously going to, you know, tilt the needle in terms of the over. Listen, I think that he's a first year in the NFL guy, really high expectations.
How many wins did Kyler Murray get last year? Three?
Three?
Or five? Three or five? Whatever.
I think they had three.
I don't see him having more than that.
No, I would definitely go under.
I lean under. There's plus money there.
Yeah, no, I would definitely lean under for the Bengals. I think 4 or 5 wins at most. I think Burrow is going to be a really, really good player. I just think that, again, usually guys in their first year takes a year or two to get adjusted to the NFL, and we know that Burrow is going to be a starter right away since Dalton is gone, and that's kind of what we assumed anyways. So, you know, I think they'll be okay. I like what the Bengals did the first three rounds. Burrow, Higgins, Wilson. I really like Logan Wilson out of Wyoming. I thought they did very well. The later round picks, you guys can all argue. Everyone has their own preferences and, you know, and the players and everything. But, you know, I thought they did well early, at least in my opinion. And so I do think that in a few years, they could have a real chance to be really good.
So can I just give you three teams I thought did bad because of the draft?
Yeah.
And could affect their win total? The Oakland Raiders might have drafted the wrong Alabama wide receiver. That's going to be out there forever. Like, they took Ruggs. Judy was on the board. So, and Lamb as well. So, like, that's going to be a Raiders thing to watch. The Bears didn't have a first-round pick, and they draft, what's his name? Cole Kmet from Notre Dame. They had 10 tight ends on the roster. 10. And then the other one is just the Eagles, right? Like, they needed to get better at wide receiver. They took Jalen Reagor, which I think we like the guy, but there was better options on the board.
Rager's explosive.
And then Jalen Hurts in the second round's a reach. I don't care what anyone says for them.
I don't understand the Hurts pick, to be honest with you. He doesn't really fit. When you look at Carson Wentz and Jalen Hurts, do you see that's the same guy? Guys run similar systems? No.
No.
You have to run totally different play calls for each quarterback, which is kind of my argument for the Patriots not signing Cam Newton, right? I like Cam Newton. I think that he would be a good addition to, you know, the Patriots, you know, just for in terms of competition. I don't want him as the starter, but ultimately, would he be good for competition? Yeah, but you have to run a totally different playbook for Cam Newton than you would for Jared Stidham. Same thing in Philly. I don't understand the addition there.
Don't get, and I know, I get, like, they don't want to be stuck with McCown again, right? That's probably what it is, or some sort of square backup quarterback.
Right, and I get the whole Russell Wilson thing, right? They're regretting not drafting Russell Wilson. That's fine. But don't make a mistake because you regret a pick from 5 or 6 years ago, eight, 9 years ago at this point.
And then now Foles with the Bears, with Trubisky, it's gonna be a nice little camp battle.
All right, let's go over this quickly before we had the break. Ravens over under 11.5, Joe.
Right now I'm going over.
Okay, over is -120. Steelers over under 9.5. Go bleep yourself. They sucked.
All right, under.
Browns, over under 8.5.
I'm under. Yeah, remember that we loved them last year. Hey, you know what, though? I will say this. Teams that are huge, highly favored and fail generally bounce back the following year.
Yeah, I'll go under Ravens, over Steelers, under Browns, under Bengals.
Under Bengals, I think, is what we can both agree.
Bengals is my favorite.
The Browns, interesting. I think the Steelers have an easy schedule and could win 10 games.
I do, too. I think the Steelers are going to be a playoff
team. I don't know if I want to bet that one. Browns, that's like you're playing with, like, a bee's nest.
Yeah, I mean, they're an 8-8, 9-7 team, even with Freddie Kittens. And, you know, they'll be okay. They have a lot of offensive talent. We know that. I think I think my favorite play in the AFC North this year, Joe, is Bengals under.
Okay. And Kevin Stefanski taking over. We didn't even mention him as a possible coach of the year. Maybe he could be the rookie coach of the year. I want to get into the Cam Newton, Andy Dalton thing, why they are linked to the Patriots and favorites. I think it's just a good discussion when it comes to gambling because, I don't know, the Patriots are linked to a lot of teams. And or a lot of players, and they always seem to be the favorite. Also, next week, UFC, I have a proposition for Dan Lifshatz. And, of course, the Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady odds are out.
Still got to go over the virtual Kentucky Derby we got
and
today.
Then, oh, yeah, baby, the trifecta. All that here on the DraftKings Over-Under Show.
If it's the biggest games in sports, you bet they're talking about it. This is the DraftKings Over-Under Show with the Bankroll Boys on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You blow money fast on the side. Catch up. I think I'm Big Meech. Larry Hoover. Whipping. Hallelujah. One nation. Under God.
All right, so DraftKings Over on the show. I'm Joe Murray. He's Dan Lifshatz. We're live. Saturday morning, 7 o'clock. If you're awake and alive and you would like to talk about sports, 617-779-0985. I woke up this morning and was not awake and alive. I was there in spirit. And then my mind said, hey, let's just go a different way to work today. And
it was bad. Bad decision.
So don't bet against the way you normally go to work. And I don't know what the hell is going on in the city today. I don't know.
Apparently 93 shut down, so there's all sorts of traffic in Joe's way, man.
Well, hopefully it's better on the way home. All right, I need explanations. Why are the Patriots the favorite to land Cam Newton and Andy Dalton? Imagine that duo. Imagine, like, Cam Newton, Dalton, Stidham, and Hoyer. They all just battle it out.
It's a hell of a foursome.
They all just battle it out. They'll each play a quarter in the preseason. And whoever has the best four quarters, you get the job.
Just take it into the regular season. Belichick just runs Cam Newton half the game, Andy Dalton half the game. Loves to be, you know, known for creating NFL history. Or, that's his thing.
Or like on a third and short, you just put Cam Newton in the run.
I mean, how great would it be to, like, run two quarterbacks and make teams game plan for two different quarterbacks? Ooh. One half this, one half that, one quarter this, one quarter that. Come on, that's a Belichick thing right there.
Yeah, and some other teams have done it. The Florida Gators do that, right, in football?
Well, they go play to play or, you know, drive to drive, but you don't really.
Still?
Yeah, I guess it's a little different.
Who's the kid they got this year that was pretty good? I don't know. Was it Trask?
Kyle Trask, yeah.
He was good.
Yeah, he was.
Remember Philippe Franks?
I do. Remember how much we talked about in the preseason pod, how much Franks was not good,
and
how Florida benched. Might be better without him, and then all of a sudden he got benched and they were better without him?
They were very good.
Much
without
better without him.
And the other backup they have, the dude can run. Whatever, college football. Oh, man. Oh, what's going
to
happen?
I think we're going to have to wait until February.
No.
That's what it feels like.
Oh, no. Anyways, explain why they're the favorites, Dan, to me, because...
Well, to me...
I can't figure it out.
It's pretty simple to me. Newton, again, they're just the team that's most a logical fit to be a starter, right? Winston's landed with the Saints. You know, I think Winston out of those three is probably the best upside to be a starter right now, just because I think Newton's injuries and, you know, kind of everything going on. Now, Newton might be a better player than Winston, so I guess maybe a team would rather take a chance on Newton to be the quarterback. But to me, the likelihood is that the Patriots are the logical opening because people do not believe in Jared Stidham. People don't know what he is. You know, people didn't see him play at Baylor and Auburn for his first 2 years. I mean, Joe, you remember Stidham. After his first year at Auburn, Stidham was a projected top three NFL pick.
Oh, I loved him at Baylor.
Dude, he was awesome. And then what happened? Kerryon Johnson got drafted.
And he was awesome.
Darius Slayton got hurt.
Yep.
And then he regressed because Gus Malzahn took over the offensive play call.
Yep. And I agree with you, dude. Like, Burt Breer brought this up before. Look at the names on that Auburn team his senior year. There's no names.
Junior year. He was a junior.
Junior. Yeah. No names at all.
Nothing. He had Darius Slayton was his best offensive player and was hurt half the year. Like, and Slayton was what, like a fifth, sixth round pick? Now he had success with the Giants last year. And, you know, I think he's a good player. But you have one player. I mean, it was him and Hastings who didn't even get drafted this year. Like, come on. That kid had nothing to work with his junior year. When he had even two weapons, he was dynamite. He was nasty at Baylor, and he was really good at Auburn his second year. They went 10-1. They almost made it into the playoff. 10-1.
Yeah.
So, listen, the reason is people do not believe in Jared Stidham, and the logical opening is Cam Newton or Andy Dalton to the Patriots.
All right, so the discussion is, would you rather have, you know, Dalton or Cam Newton here and go 10-6 or go 8-8 with a struggle for Jared Stidham? I think we all agree what's best for the Patriots is to find out what you have with Stidham.
I agree.
And I think odds makers need to figure that out at some point. So here's what Odd Sharks mentioned when it comes to why the Patriots are the favorite. The reality is that since the start of the 2016 regular season, Newton has been sacked 106 times in 48 games, which has made, you know, the tread on the tire has become bald. He may still end up being a Patriot this season, but it seems like another team should be the favorite to sign him. So I'm looking around the league, dude, and then this is where Andy Dalton comes in. I don't think it's us. I don't think it's the odds makers that say that Dalton should go to the Patriots. I think this is something that Peter King has linked for months. And maybe the Patriots think that that's a guy that, you know, was successful at TCU and they really liked him. He's been in the league for 9 years. And they think that him coming to New England, that's a nice little stopgap until they can find their next guy. Problem is, what are you going to pay the guy when you have no salary cap? You already have two guys in place. How much better is Dalton than Hoyer? He's probably better than him.
I think he's probably.
Is it a game or two better than what they could be? It's probably yes, but I still think for the Patriots' sake, it's better to find out with what you have. And then I start looking around. The Jaguars are the perfect team. I think the Patriots are smokescreen to drive the price up for the Jaguars. Minshew and Luton right now, and Josh Dobbs. Dobbs could play, but he's been bounced around now.
Dobbs doesn't feel
he's
like
not a
quarterback.
Starter.
He's not a quarterback.
No, not a starter.
He feels more like an athlete.
Exactly.
Back. Yeah.
Dalton to the Jags, I think, is the perfect move.
I agree. I think Dalton to the Jags makes a lot of sense. I don't think that it's necessary to prop the price up, Joe. I think the Patriots do their due diligence on all these guys. You know what I mean? And I think that they're more likely to do their due diligence more seriously on Dalton because he fits more of the profile than Newton does. Accuracy instead of playmaking. Make the smart throw instead of making the mistake, which, again, I don't necessarily agree with, but that's, you know, the profile on those guys that Newton is more the playmaker, tries to create, you know, instead of making the safer play like Dalton, dump the ball, whatever, yada, yada, yada. I think Dalton ultimately is a better backup than Brian Hoyer, but he'll go to the Jaguars and that's where he should go. He should compete with Minshew and they should start Minshew. Minshew's the younger player. You should give the younger player a better chance, which is exactly why I think they do with, you know, here with Stidham. I think they bring Dalton in. He's similar to Hoyer, but Hoyer knows the playbook. They know Hoyer. There's a comfortability there that they won't have with Dalton. So I think that ultimately will be the reason that he doesn't come here.
All right, real quick, the match, Tiger versus Phil. Tiger and Manning are the favorite at -195 with Mickelson and Brady at +145. Give me the plus money right off the bat.
Me too, 100%. And this is something I am going to bet on just for fun, obviously, but Mickelson's competitive. And
Brady?
I don't know how good of a golfer Brady or Manning are. You know, I don't follow their golf game. Mm. But I would say give me the competitive Mickelson.
I did watch the Peyton's place, Brady and Manning in Jim Nance's backyard. Brady, a better long distance driver.
Okay.
Manning had a little bit of a slice.
Interesting.
So I'll see if I can get any more on
there
that.
You go. But, sharp Murray over
but
here.
Give me the dog. Yeah. And I'm going Brady
anyway. Mickelson in a gambling, basically.
Yeah,
exactly. Give me Mickelson.
In on that. I have a thought on the Ngannou match next week for UFC and the virtual Kentucky Derby odds. All that coming up next here on the DraftKings Over-Under Show.
This is the DraftKings Over-Under Show with Joe Murray and Dan Lifschitz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
DraftKings over on the show. I'm Joe Murray. He's Dan Lifschitz. Tucker Silva's here. Two tweets. Two tweet deep. still haven't got a Twitter segment yet. We're working on it. Different route to work, Joe. Bill O'Brien is head coach of the year. Are you feeling okay? That was one of the tweets that came in today. That does make kind of sense now that I'm thinking about it. What the hell was I thinking? I don't know what the hell I was doing with that one.
I don't know.
And then someone says, more Trask Emory Jones talk. I think people are missing out on college football.
Yeah.
All right, Dan. So I know you're not a UFC like guy.
Nope.
But let me give you one here.
Okay.
Francis Ngannou, right? He's this like monster.
I know Ngannou.
You know who he is. Yep. He's fighting a guy named Rosenstruck, kind of like Henry Rowan Gardner.
Okay.
Rosen. Remember when he just didn't know what to call him? We're going to go with that. UFC 249 fight night set at even. Over under 1.5 rounds. And I just, based off the trend, I want you to give me an answer. Ngannou has finished 7 of his last 9 opponents in the first round, while Rosenhurst has finished his opponent in 7 of his 10 career fights. So if you look at that one, do you lean under 1.5?
So Rosenstreich or whatever the whatever his name is, he...
Let's call him Rosie.
Okay, yeah, Rosie. Fine. Rosie goes the distance in 7 of 10 fights. Is that what you said?
He's finished his opponent in 7 of 10 career fights.
I don't know what that means.
Finished. In the first round.
Okay. Okay, obviously that's an underplay then.
Both people. First round.
Yeah.
So here's why I feel over is the play.
Yeah, I mean, right.
Cause... If both people, both guys are quick finishers.
Right.
They're not going to be able to finish each other right away, are they?
No, I agree with that.
So maybe the over 1.5 is the play.
The round 2 starts on my book, minus 140.
Over.
It's interesting.
Over.
It's interesting.
We got a week to look into that one.
All right. I'll take a look into it.
But you get it, right?
No, I don't.
Forget about who they are, what they are, what they do. This is the trend.
Couple of big power guys, neither they're going to want to go for the knockout punch probably.
Or they might just stand there for a minute.
Yeah. No, I get what you're saying.
And I'll never forget Stipe Miocic versus Ngannou. Ngannou's huge.
I watched the fight.
If you stand up against Ngannou, you're stupid. The guy's a monster. And all Stipe did was hold him against the fence for 3 rounds.
I remember
it was the most boring fight.
Right.
But Stipe won?
Stipe won. Yep. I do remember that. All right, Joe. Kentucky Derby odds, Virgil Kentucky Derby. We got a minute 30 here. Let's go. Affirmed, 1978 plus 400. Assault, 1946 plus 2,500. Secretariat, 1973 plus 115. Sir Barton, 1919 plus 3,500. Seattle Slough, 1977 plus 300. American Pharoah, 2015 plus 200. Gallant Fox, 1930 plus 3,500. Citation, 1948 plus 1,200. War Admiral, 1937 plus 800. Whirlaway, 1941 plus 2,500. Count Fleet, 1943 plus 3,000. Justify, 2018 plus 600. And Omaha, 1935 plus 1,200. Who you got?
All right. We're going Secretariat, Justify, and Citation. So that would be 3, 12, 9, or 8?
I don't know.
3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 3, 12, 8. 3, 12, 8. 3, 12, 8. 3, 12, 8. You get it?
I got it.
That's it, Dan.
That's your trifecta.
Tucker, thank you. Can we go out with Dan Lifshad's comment? No. Anyways. All right. He's Dan Lifshad's. I'm Joe Murray. This is Over Under 985.
The Steelers suck.
What is that?
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.